Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Our web address, again, has our programs on there for free. So what you're listening to today, you can go to our website and listen to these programs or download them, put on your iPod, whatever you wish. So go back and listen to our programs with an open Bible and search the scriptures. Also on our web address, we have at our website, we have a bookstore where we have some very helpful tools for you. We have the Companion Bible and a few other items that are good study tools. Well, for those of you who have been regular followers of this program, we apologize for the repeat programs, but I've had some ailments here physically that have kept me from doing my duty here and recording. But God willing, here we're back in action and going verse by verse, and we're looking today at Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And so we're going to start here in Ephesians. I'm not going to give much preliminary talk on this, as I want to go right into it. So we're going to start by reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, Ephesians 1, we read this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I want to notice a few things. This letter to the Ephesians is the Magna Carta of the church, which is the body of Christ. We here at this program have been teaching, and we hope you've recognized by now, the principle of rightly dividing the word of truth. It is our opinion, those of us here at Cross and Throne Ministries, that one of the greatest problems we're having in the body of Christ today is using the wrong scriptures and trying to put into effect scriptures that are not directed to Christ's body. But in Ephesians, we have our charter, our calling, as it were. And so we would like to see all of us study this letter together and believe it. Remember, when you read the scriptures, it's important that when you read it, you actually believe what you're reading. God didn't just give it to us to read and put it away, but to believe it and seek to put it into practice. And I think that's what we have here in Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Notice they're saints and faithful. Now, there are many of those who are saints. We become saints not by behaving saintly, but we become saints by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished for us on Calvary's cross. A person becomes a saint not by acting saintly, but he becomes a saint when he puts his faith in what Christ has accomplished for him. If you studied Paul's letter to the Romans, we saw that God justifies the ungodly. He doesn't justify saints. He justifies the ungodly. When an ungodly sinner puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes a saint. He's a believer. Now, but it also says here, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I think that is going to be the key to this letter to the Ephesians. And we're also going to see in Colossians, these are the latest of Paul's letters, the last of Paul's letters. And in the later epistles of Paul, we see the mystery concerning the body of Christ and its heavenly calling brought out as it is in no other letters. And so the word faithful is important. That's not a popular word today, faithful. We don't like the idea of faithfulness. But I believe here as Paul is writing, he's writing to a group of people that were faithful. In what way were they faithful? Is Paul talking about a group of people who went to church on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and were always there on Wednesday nights? Did that comprise their faithfulness? Was there faithfulness in the fact that they didn't drink, that they didn't smoke, they didn't chew? Is there faithfulness in the fact that they were regular contributors to Christian movements? And I'm going to say in answer to that, that some of those things may be in part of what comprised them to be faithful, but really what made these saints faithful was the fact that they believed God's latest testimony through the Apostle Paul. And faithfulness, we always apply faithfulness so much to what you do. And what we do is very important. And we're going to see in Ephesians that there's a great calling. There's actions that those who believe in Christ should perform. But more importantly, actions always spring from faith. It's what we believe that is first of all and foremost, of foremost importance, as opposed to what we do. What we do comes from what we believe. And so it's important that we're faithful. And when you think of the word faithful, I want you to think about it as we study this letter to the Ephesians, that we're about to study teachings that Paul has given us. And if you want to be a faithful believer, your job is to believe these things and to put them into practice. And so we pray right now at the beginning of this program that God would give us the grace to listen and to learn and believe what he's teaching us through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Now, I know I skipped over this real quickly, but it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And I pointed this out in other programs that Paul is the only apostle who has to say this. You never read about Peter calling himself apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Only Paul says this because he's showing in his letters that he has a unique apostleship. He was not one of the 12. The 12 apostles were for the 12 tribes of Israel. And yet the apostle Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. And here in Ephesians, we see that his apostleship is concerning the mystery of the body of Christ. And so we have to keep our eye on the ball here when we study Ephesians. And then he says in verse 2, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I love this phrase, "grace to you and peace." This is not just God saying shalom or God saying hello. It's God the Father and the Lord Jesus wishing us grace and peace. That is God's attitude toward us today. Our standing is in grace, and we have peace with God, and not only that, we can enjoy the peace of God through circumstances. This comes from God our Father. Isn't that wonderful? That today we can call God our Father, an individual. You know, it's interesting, nobody in the Old Testament could ever call God their Father. It is not until later, after the work of the Son is accomplished, that an individual believer and us as members of the bodies of Christ can call God our Father. God is our Father. And think about that. This is a term that we use for earthly relationships. And God applies it to himself, because when you think of a father, you should think of one who's affectionate and loving and trains you and disciplines you. It's not always hugs and kisses, obviously. Usually a father trains up a child through disciplinary actions, shows them the right way, encourages them in the right way, and so forth. And God is our Father. And so when we think of God as our Father, we shouldn't just think of the fact that we can give him a big hug. Unfortunately, I think we live in a day of great irreverence when it comes to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is our Father, yes, but he, as a father, trains us. And sometimes training does not always feel good, but he is our Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make a comment here again regarding reverence. No man in the Bible ever called our Lord Jesus, Jesus. And if you're listening to me, I have to say one of my greatest pet peeves is when I hear people referring to our Lord as Jesus. Jesus this. He is Jesus. Well, that was his earthly name, but you and I have no right to call him that. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only people who ever addressed him as Jesus were the Jewish vagabond exorcists in the book of Acts. Go read it for yourself. He's the Lord Jesus. Give him the honor due unto his name, as Sir Robert Anderson wrote a book called that. And if you don't have that book, get a copy of it, The Honor of His Name by Sir Robert Anderson. But he's not Jesus. There is one group of believers who call him King Jesus, the crown rights of King Jesus. Friends, let's not be irreverent. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And honor him, and don't make up titles that don't belong to him. Give him the honor due unto his name. So grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the introduction. And then we come to verse 3, and I'm just going to read it here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And actually, I'm going to read through verse 6. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Let me just make a recommendation before I make comments here. Ephesians 1:3-6, I want to encourage every one of you to memorize these verses. I know there's groups out there that like they talk about scripture memorization, and I think it could be good and bad depending on how you use it. There's nothing wrong with memorizing scripture, but sometimes we'll memorize a verse and completely wrest it from its context. But here in verse 3 to 6, there's a good section to memorize. As a matter of fact, if you want to be really bold, I would start with Ephesians 1 and memorize verses 3 to 14. And that would be a great thing to do to keep into your mind and your heart as you meditate on these verses. Well, first of all, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to notice how Paul starts. Paul does not start by asking God for anything. Paul doesn't start by, you know, in prayer by asking him to give him something. So often we view prayer as just us going to God asking for specific needs, and we should do that. We should go to God with our needs. But if you don't have anything to ask for, that doesn't mean we should stop praying. Paul starts here by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He went to him and just blessed him. And the word blessing, it's interesting if you look in the Greek word for blessed means to speak well of. So when you bless somebody, you're actually praising them. You're speaking well of them. And so Paul says, "Speak well. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." This section is, you and I receive great blessings here. But Paul is occupied with the blesser, the one who gives these blessings in these verses. And I think you'll find that throughout Scripture, the higher the calling, the more God gets the honor and praise. And that is true here in Ephesians, where we have in Ephesians the highest truth. And when I mean by higher truth, it doesn't mean that Ephesians is more true than Romans or John or Leviticus. No, what I'm referring to is the fact is the position that is given to those who are addressed in Ephesians is higher than anyone else. In other words, King David is going to be king on his throne, and he's going to have a resurrection in the land of Palestine. But you and I, as members of the body of Christ, have a blessing in heavenly places associated with the right hand of God. That's higher than David. It's not more true than David's calling, but it's higher truth in the sense of the position to be occupied. I hope that makes sense. But he starts off by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak well of him." And in verse 6 it says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace." So we speak well of God, we bless him, and we praise him. That means we applaud him. So before we go into the details next time, I want you to think about this. Read verses 3 to 6 of Ephesians 1. And speak well of the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and applaud him for what he has accomplished for us. Well, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address again is crossandthrone.com. And our phone number is 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. And please go to our website. You can get this program that you just heard, and you can download it and listen to it again. Please do it with an open Bible. And remember, do your homework. Read this Ephesians. If you can, memorize Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. This is a listener-supported program. If you believe these things and you want to see this program continue, please consider helping us out. And to do that, you call me, 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. Well, we thank you for joining us, and until next time, remember this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that God may be all in all.